the radical left, the Marxists, the anarchists, the agitators, the looters, and people who, in many instances, have absolutely no clue what they are doing.
Welcome to What Radicalized You, a podcast of stories and experiences that have shaped people's ideas about our world and the way society should function.
So my name is Bayano. Some people may know me as Devin Bayon, but most people know me as Comrade Bayano. I'm from Central Massachusetts, and I'm 20 years old. I'm a member of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, the Eokunle Collective, and the Black Alliance for Peace. My journey for radicalization, I kind of struggle with this question because I feel like I'm always relearning, unlearning, discovering the truth, I guess, that's behind all the lies that's been told to us through all the propaganda of American imperialism and capitalism. There's been a few moments, I guess, in my life that kind of just swayed me from academia and institutions and the system, I guess. And it really started in high school. I grew up in a majority white town with a heavy Polish population. The town's, I think it's like 94% white. So being one of the few black people in town and one of the few, I guess, conscious black people, because I was always thinking about things that other kids my age weren't. I was always concerned about what's going on in the world, always thinking beyond just like trying to be a basketball star and things like that, that most kids are thinking of. I was always in a book or watching a documentary or reading up some article about someone's biography or something. In high school, I started to get really into the work of Malcolm X. Like most black men my age in high school fall into the autobiography of Malcolm X. I started to hear some of Kwame Ture's speeches, learned about the assassination of Fred Hampton, things like that. That's when I began to really question the history of this nation, really began to understand the white supremacist ideology this nation is based on top of its capitalist imperialist ideology. And it really began to open my eyes that I can't really trust the things I'm being taught, and I can't really stand behind this country as much as this institution that I'm in and this nation that I reside in wants me to. Even though I was exposed to them, I wasn't really exposed to the radical politics that they really stood for. I was still more of a black nationalist at the time than a pan-Africanist or a Marxist that I would consider myself now. But after reading these works, I started to organize some students on my campus, some of the few black students on campus, and we actually started the first black student association in the school's history, which is a small little feat. It was empowering for a little minute before we started to face all the problems that come with institutional organizing and academia. It was a good experience to finally be able to have a space and some kind of platform to be able to talk about what was happening for the black students on campus, the history that we were all learning, the true history that we were learning that was really exposing all the lies that the teachers were trying to tell us about Malcolm and about Martin, the Black Power movement, the so-called civil rights movement. Once we began to unravel all those things, we started to really want to tell those things to the school. So we started to organize several presentations for the whole school during the month of February. And that's when we all got really exposed to the limitations of organizing, because the school didn't let us call ourselves the Black Student Association. We had to be the Black Empowerment Union because they said it was racist. I believe they said it was racist to call the Black Student Association. They never gave us any funding as a club officially. Every club was supposed to get a few hundred dollars. And every time we tried to present anything, it was heavily, heavily censored. I remember at one point I wanted to give a speech, and I think 30 minutes before my speech, I was called into the principal's office, and he was like, yeah, these four lines in your speech, I think black and white students would find them offensive. You know, what you have here is great. You should really use your voice, but I'm going to refrain you from saying this speech at all. And that was 30 minutes before our presentation. After always getting caught up in censorship, just liberal academia, just this like heavily revisionist narrative that the school wanted to run with history and with the current state of the country, it's weird when the school encourages you to organize, but every time you try to say something that is the truth, they get scared and they don't want you to say it. So it became very frustrating that we would organize. We spent all this time as high school students to create these events and make these presentations, pamphlets, flyers, write our own speeches, create videos and have little trivia games and things to try to get the students involved and try to get them to realize some of the true history that was being hidden from us. But the school would always do everything it could to limit us and hammer it down. So by the time I graduated high school, I kind of was rethinking everything about trying to operate within the so-called system and the status quo, really, really getting completely dismayed with the state of the country and just all the things that were happening. Because around this time, there was a lot of murders of Black men by the police, Black men and Black women. And then the era of Trump was coming. So all those kind of things made me just think about this country's full of shit. And going into undergrad, didn't really want to organize that much within the institution. I still got wrapped up in the Black Student Association here, but that was a short-lived tale. And then from there, I've just been trying to learn, and build a better understanding of what really is the history of the world, the history of communism and the history of socialism and capitalism, really just uncovering all the revisionist, anti-communist lies that are told to us about how it was ineffective or it was a mass murder campaign, when it was really people giving their lives, sacrificing so much to try to make an actually democratic and egalitarian society. Really, I was always pushed by a great desire for truth. And it just disgusted me that we can sit in these classrooms and we could hear these so-called experts on TV and on the internet just completely shit on the sacrifices of millions and millions of people, from the Soviet Union to China to Cuba to dozens of revolutions in Africa and the Caribbean. It just rubbed me the wrong way that we could just sit there and digest things that are abhorrently false and totally wrapped up in a narrative that's supposed to keep us with the wool over our eyes about what world we're living in, that we're being exploited every day and that we're being oppressed. Though they don't want us to know any of those things. They want us to keep us in line like cattle, and they want to keep us part of the system, keep us believing in electoral politics and keep us believing in the so-called American dream and the American exceptionalism, which we all know is a lie built on settler colonialism and white supremacy, genocide, imperialism. The more my anger grew about all these lies and all this filth being thrown on the sacrifices of some of the greatest men and women that have ever graced the earth, some of the most courageous and forward-thinking and willing people that have ever been born, the more my anger grew, the more I wanted to know what the truth is. And I just became wrapped up in all the proper texts I can get my hands on, just trying to find real organizations and trying to see what really is socialism, what is real organizing, what does it really mean to change the system, better yet, overthrow the system, which is preferably what we want to see. So started reading up on Cuba, started reading up on Ghana, Soviet Union, China. And my biggest problem is I always bounce around books. So I might be reading like 150 pages into one book about the Soviet Union, and I'm jumping over to another book, 300 pages into Cuba, but I get there eventually. And then when I do get there, it starts to all unravel for me. That kind of leads me to where I am now, and I'm still trying to unravel the truth and trying to relearn, unlearn, define positions, redefine them, because it never really ends to me when it comes to what radicalizes you or your journey of radicalization. I guess that's partly why I'm all over the place, and it's kind of hard to define it, because every day I feel like I'm finding out a more radical position than I held yesterday. If I saw even my positions 3 months ago, I might be like, wow, you thought you were radical, but you had some bourgeois tendencies that you were holding on to, and you had some counter-revolutionary defeatism that you were hanging on to. Those experiences that I mentioned, I do hold them very close, because even though looking back, I was like, wow, that's messed up, that's ridiculous, I'm glad that, you know, had to fight for everything that we did in high school, and I was taught all those lies and I was fed all that BS, because in a way I might not be a Marxist or Pan-Africanist or a scientific socialist, anti-imperialist today if I wasn't fed all these lies. Might have been another person just wrapped up in electoral politics, focusing on like wealth or my own personal prosperity rather than the collective prosperity of humanity. So those lies really motivated me to find out what truth was and what a true objectivity was and what a better world could be. So until those lies were thrown in my face, I wasn't really felt compelled to look for truth and look for something better than what we lived. I always just thought what it was what it was. But after reading and watching so many documentaries and having so many beautiful conversations with so many amazing comrades, I discovered a better world is possible. It's truly possible. And we just need to all be studying, all be learning from the masses, learning from each other, practicing theory, correcting revisionism, correcting our own bourgeois tendencies, our anti-communist biases. Because I feel like, again, we're always radicalizing and there's always something we don't know. There's always an angle we haven't seen. There's always a truth hidden from us until we really sit there and delve into everything and see all the possibilities and really understand what's truth, what's fiction, what's wrapped up in anti-communist falsifications, what's wrapped up in bourgeois revisionism. It's just always a constant journey to make us all the best revolutionaries that we can be. I believe everybody in the world should be a revolutionary. We all may have differences of ideology. We won't even get into that kind of discussion, but everybody should be a revolutionary because the world could be so much more for all of us. We don't have to be working 60, 70 years to have 20 years of so-called luxury that they're already trying to strip away from us again. The world could be, you know, one where there's real fraternal bonds between fellow humans and we could really have true liberation and know what it feels to be dignified people in this earth and truly equal in all the ways that matter. And it's funny because it sounds romanticized and super like, oh my God, he's off some bullshit, but it's really a possibility. And when you look at the history, some of the things that people did just for the possibility of a better world can astound you, from the Long March to the Great Patriotic War from the Soviet Union to the several anti-imperialist struggles of Vietnam. The list goes on and on and on. And when you see all that, you're like, wow, just from the willpower and the belief in a better system and the belief in a possibility of something more, people gave so much. How could there not be a possibility for us all to work just as hard to get a better world? And that still motivates me. Just that search, finding out what really works, what were the mistakes of the past, and how can we make it possible? I think that's what drives me the most and what I feel like how I still don't feel quite radicalized yet. Because until I can really pinpoint, you know, how do you organize and how do you really structure an economy through Marxist political economy? And how do you solve all these questions of contradictions and all these things? I always feel like until all these are solved, I won't really be a radical, you know. I feel like it's closer than we think. I think about Lenin, Stalin, and all the rest of the Bolsheviks, like there's no way they would know that revolution was around the corner, or look to Cuba with Castro and Che and Raul. No one can really pinpoint when we'll have a revolution. You know, the conditions will evidently worsen and people will become more radicalized and conscious, but no one can really decisively say when revolution will come. If we keep doing the work that we do, we keep educating ourselves and educating the masses, and also learning from the masses, I feel like that's equally important because people aren't ignorant to their own suffering. If we keep doing that and doing the work that we do, I feel like it's way closer than we think. Sometimes I see myself believing like the bourgeois propaganda and the imperialist lies that there is no socialism and that socialism never worked. You know, sometimes these bourgeois defeatist positions can kind of creep in your mind sometimes, but I always just stand firm. I'll die on the hill that communism worked and works and is possible. I'll die on that hill.